As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, Devin, what do you have for us this evening?
Here we go.
What do you have here?
There's a great deal of poetry in working out how things work. Cutting bits of metal, trying to mend stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, that quote ended quicker than I thought.
I know. Like it was going to go on.
That's it. Just cutting bits of metal and trying to end stuff.
Yeah, like it wasn't well wrapped up. But it's a quote from James May, who's on Top Gear.
Yeah, right.
Who has James May gin that we have to review, which I absolutely loved.
That you bought to review and then just drank it.
I didn't finish it. There's enough for two drinks.
Nice. So it's there's a bit of poetry and making stuff. Is that what it is?
Working out how things work. So he's, I know that's what he likes to do, and who knows what he means by poetry. You could kind of weave that into any quote about art, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a, maybe it's like a conversation. It's a ongoing, like, thought process along with there's beauty and excitement when you figure out how it clicks together. Too unlike poetry sometimes where you don't understand it and then you do.
Yeah, there's a flow, right? There's like a rhythm to the way something works. And when you can understand that, you understand its rhythm, right? Mm. And you're like, okay, so if all these things work together, if all the elements of this thing are working, then the rhythm flows. Yeah. It's not choppy. It's not bouncy. It's not whatever, you know, garbled, you know, like a poem. When all the pieces work together, it flows. So today I was at school and working, you know, and I was we were going to use the print lab to. We have a technology lab in our school that's kind of for everyone to use, and in the lab there are 4 3D printers. Mm-hmm. So we were going down. My coworker Katie and I, we were going to go and start printing because we have a bunch of small models that our students 3D modeled for the buildings they're designing. And so we were printing them out. So instead of just using the one printer in our room, we like to use that one plus the ones down in the lab. So we can kind of get them all done in a couple of days instead of, you know, two a day, right. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So we were down there and Katie went down to start some of the 3D prints and she came back up and she was like, I need your help because all the machines are off. So I went down with her and we're like trying to figure it out. And so all of the outlets on the backside of the room were all off. We didn't know why. And so I was like tracing the whole system to try to figure out why. And I was like trying to go into different rooms. I'm checking the breaker boxes and the breaker boxes are not tripped. And we're working our way through. And it, like, and this whole time it's like, okay, well, you know, electricity works in a line, right? You know, it's like there goes a breaker box and then it goes to another breaker box. And then, you know, there's like a big giant breaker box that runs the whole building. So you can kind of step backwards. Like if all the breakers are not tripped, then I mean, there's a bigger problem, right? So you go to the next breaker box and you find that one. Okay, well, where are all the breakers there? Like in a big building, right? They're all kind of a daisy chain together. So we're looking around and I call the principal because I know there's like a key. He has a key, a specific key to one of the electrical closets that's not keyed like the rest. So he came down and we're looking in there. We don't see any problem. Then we go back to the main room where the two breaker boxes are and we find that the one breaker box is all off. And I'm like, okay, well, this breaker box is labeled by this code. And so I'm like, where's that breaker in the next box? So I go over and I see that code and it's like, okay, here's the breaker that turns off the entire breaker box. So I switch that back off and on, and that's fine. I'm like, okay, well, now that's not working. So where's the you know, the next box that runs this bigger breaker box?
Is your school the game Myst?
Yeah, right. Switch this thing. Switch this one. Right.
There's pipes on the floor. I got to redirect the.
So I'm standing
there. Make the elevator work.
And the principal's standing there. And then one of our other teachers had come in because he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I feel like it's something in here. This has happened before. And it happened before to me. And so I knew there was like the solution, but I just couldn't remember what our solution was from the past. And so we're standing there. We're looking at these two breaker boxes. And I'm reading the tag. And I'm like, okay, now we need to find the next breaker box that has this label in it as like the bigger switch to turn off this entire thing. And cause I have the schematics of the whole building up in the architecture room cause we use it for examples and stuff. We'll show people. So we have the whole, like the entire blueprints of the entire building and has all the electrical schematics. Right. And we're like standing there, we're looking at it and Berzine, our principal, goes, ah, I know what it is. And he walks up and there's like one big switch on the whole breaker box, which is the switch for that breaker box. And that one's tripped, but it's not colored at all. Cause it's a giant switch. Right. But it's just like halfway down. And so he like pushes it down and then switches it back up and everything comes back on. He's like, ah, and he made this joke. He's like, that's right, ladies, we can handle any job in this building. We're like standing there and joking about it. And I was talking about the Seinfeld episode where Jerry's like, you know, hopefully you just open up the hood of the car. You think you know what's going on. You're going to walk up like you act like you know what's going on. You're just looking for some big switch that's turned off.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I got it. So that's exactly what happened. So, but that's just like the quote reminded me of that because it's a system of steps. And when they all work together, they all work well. And they all have to work together to flow. Right. So like these like daisy chain breaker boxes that get, you know, bigger and bigger breakers. But yeah. And I find that obviously in like all the things, anything that I make, you know, there's as simple as like an axe with a handle, right? That's like two things that have to go together and then they're held together by a wedge. So if all three things are working well, the inside of the eye of the axe, the handle is shaped correctly, the wedge is shaped correctly, then those three things create a system that flows. And if one of those things is loose, then the system rattles, you know, or the head flies off. That's like, yeah, I think that's really beautiful. There's like poetry and understanding how
a
things
beautiful
work.
Piece of poetry. There's a, I remember when we were young, Derek, he must have just gotten out of high school or someone. Remember he was like, he was writing poetry and putting it on a website.
No.
You remember that? There was a website where you could rate other people's poetry.
No, that's great.
And I did one. I really tried to make it deep, you know? And I don't, you know, I would love to find it. And I mean, I'm sure I'd be very embarrassed about my poetry at like 13, you know?
Yeah.
But really trying hard to make it good.
I did.
And I remember in, you know, uploading it like, yeah, this is pretty damn good.
Gotta say so myself.
Let me release this on the world. It's going to change some things.
I took a poetry class in college and actually found my final. Like the final was like we had to put together something like six poems or something, you know, and just like print it out and staple together. And so we could share it with the class and present them, whatever. So I had two packets. One was mine and one was my friend Ben. But I was going back and reading the poems that I wrote, and I was like, yeah, you know, they weren't bad, but they were like, they were a little predictable, I guess. You know, like they were a little, a little lofty, like a little too lofty. You know, you get into that, like a whole room of people that are writing conceptual poetry, and you're like, yeah, everything starts to sound conceptual and poetic, and you're like, oh yeah, this is good. This is different. Like, nah. And then I was reading. So I was reading through my friend Ben's poems, Ben Turner, who was actually in my year, pretty good friend of mine. He and a few of our other friends were all on the show Ace of Cakes. He was one of like the main characters on the show Ace of Cakes with Duff, whatever his name is all. But I was reading through his, and there was one of his poems where he mentioned me in the poem. Because it was like he was relating a dream, and he was like, and blah, 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 and this happened. And then I looked over, and like, and my friend Jim from high school was there, and Dustin, you were there too. And he like kept writing, and I was like, hey, nice. I made it in his dream and into the poem. But
yeah, silly stuff.
Yeah, not great.
So but, here, yeah. I had this, I'm talking about 3D printing. I got mine next to my computer here, and I've been printing up some stuff. Mm-hmm. Something I never considered, which I saw on Instagram or YouTube or something. Taking, you know how we're always trying to get the smallest nozzle head possible to get rid of the lines, right?
Right.
Right, you're always trying to minimize those lines and maybe sand them off and do all that stuff. But this guy just pushed it to see how big the nozzle could be. So even bigger than the plastic itself. Somehow, it must melt it earlier and push it through, you know?
Right.
Okay. But, I mean, then it becomes the fastest prints on Earth.
Right.
Because each layer is a quarter inch or something, you know, probably half that. But let's say it's an eighth or 2/8 or something, whatever it is.
or quarter.
And he does clear stuff like vases and stuff and interesting like faces. Yeah. So you get this very like, you know, stand far back and you can see it type of deal.
Oh yeah. Right on.
I was like, what a great idea. Like if you really want to make something quickly, just, accept the style of the tool, which is round layers.
Right. Yeah.
That can be flat, that get a little flattened, but they're with rounded edges. So if you almost like a pinch pot or one of those, not a pinch pot, but the ones where you do a rope pot, you know?
Yeah, coil.
Before
coil
you pot. Smooth it, yeah. Coil pot. So it's like that, but without doing the smoothing, it has its own pleasing aesthetic. It's really cool. Like, I was like,
yeah, that's cool.
So you have these instant, I mean, it takes a crap load of PLA and of plastic, but it's like, it's done in, you know, a vase is done in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
It's just big, fat, clear layers. Like, really cool. I was like, oh, man, I got to try that.
Yeah, and if, like you said, you know, if you're building that texture into the design, right, you're like, not that you're like designing it that way, but you understanding that it's going to be there, right? So it's not like, you're obviously not printing it, parts for things, you know, like, because they're not going to do that. But if you're using it artistically and you're printing big things, big objects that like the specificity of the detail doesn't necessarily matter.
Right.
Then yeah, why not? Like,
right.
That's cool.
It's like, you're right. It's like trying to make someone's face out of, you know, rope.
Right.
You can do layer and layer and layer. It's a look.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, man, I gotta try something like that. That'd be really cool. And really quick, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Reminds me of our book that we read for the book club. One of the characters, Mostard, used 3D printing to print glass.
Did she use 3D printing?
Yeah. Yeah, she had all the 3D printers. That's what she was like. Oh. She was using 3D printers to print glass, to print, like, glass objects and stuff.
Did you finish the book?
Yeah.
I'm almost done.
Almost done?
I actually read it yesterday and today. Yeah, it's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I finished it. Maybe after next week we're going to have a guest, and then maybe the week after we'll take a couple minutes and discuss it.
Yeah. All right. yeah, it's fun. It's a good. It was good. I liked the book, and I liked the ending, and yeah, good stuff. Cool, yeah. Going, like, slightly back to that again, just, like, thinking about like the use of something like that. We've been printing a lot of stuff, and I've been like 3D modeling different things, and I actually 3D modeled a cup holder, like a cup holder phone holder. So like a phone, you know, like to hold my phone in a cup holder in a car. Because in my truck, I don't really have a good place to mount a phone holder, and I probably could, but
sure you do.
It's not great. Like my dashboard's not like super solid for some reason. It's a little like cracky and stuff, and it's a little wobbly. So I was like, so I usually just put my.
Because you have a truck from
2001.
Oh, sorry. Damn. That was
close. Yeah, right. My other one was 89. So no, it's like there's something about that era of Dodge Rams that the material that they made the dash out of, like over time the sun basically like becomes brittle and cracks, and so I have a few cracks in my dash, and it's not like as bad as I've seen some other ones, but
yeah.
I don't want to risk it by like putting something up there that's weighted. so I usually just put my phone next to me on the chair, on the bench seat, or I put it in the cup holder, which is down to my right, you know, to the right of my knee, and it just leans back away from me. But my new phone's a little bit bigger, so it doesn't want to sit down in the cup far enough. So I modeled a holder, which is basically like a sleeve that's like maybe 2 inches tall with a space in the front, so that way it doesn't cover the screen when it slides into it. And then that thing, that 2 inch tall by say a half inch thick sleeve by 3.5 inches wide, then is tilted back at like maybe 5 or 7 degrees something, and then it's modeled inside of a circular, you know, cup that's only like an inch tall, so that way when I put that down into the cup holder, my cup holder has an adjustment like left to right, so I can tighten down on something, so I can put that in, tighten it, and then that'll hold my phone at the right angle and in the thing. So I was like, pretty cool. But I made a first one and I printed it, and it ended up being too big for the cup holder, so I have that there. Actually, I should use that in here. So I have another one that I, you know, changed and made some edits and modeled it a little bit better and did some changes to it, and also added in a like a charging cable slot at the bottom, which I hadn't done at all. And so, but it's kind of a fun thing, like understanding that, you know, you can just model anything out of your imagination. Oh, yeah. and then print it. Like, such a cool, like, just crazy. And actually I have my students are my sophomore class is working on a specific thing they're doing a drafting of an object that's special for them, and they have to do all these different views of it and stuff, and they have to measure it and draft it, and it takes a while, that project. Some students work through it pretty quickly and some students take a lot longer to do it, so we made a secondary project for students who finished early where they could model a like a desktop pencil holder organizer type thing. We gave them like some constraints and some different like and some goals that they had to do that were based off of the way you look at it and all. But the cool thing about that is now like there was no like constraint on what it could look like. You know, it was like, just make this thing whatever you want. And so like most of my students were just making like cylinders and, you know, cubes and stuff, and they were kind of putting them together to make these shapes and all. And then and I had one student who just downloaded a picture of a pirate ship, or not a picture, but a 3D model of a pirate ship, and she was just like making edits to it so that way it could hold pencils. I was like, that's great, you know, like why not, you know, because it's just an extra project, it's not graded, it's like it's the students who had finished early, it's a little bit of a benefit for them, you know, like, hey, here's your prize for, you know, finishing early and staying on task, that now you get to model this thing, and then I'm going to 3D print them for them. So that's the cool thing. Just like whatever is in your imagination, just come up with it and then print it out, and then it's there. And if it's not exactly what you want, and just print another one. You know, you spent like $3 on PLA or something.
Right. So, oh, it's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. I have this, before we move on, I don't know if I talked to you about it. I probably talked to Kai about it. Mm-hmm. I have a dream project of making a strategy / gambling / like a D&D board game called Dungeon Casino.
Okay.
Where I think we played a small version of it when we gambled last time at my place.
Right, yeah.
Remember with all the players? Everyone? Uh-huh. It's like we were all rushing to get through, but we could also attack each other at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's a, you know, a standard like dungeon, with, you know, one-inch squares, and you can do rolls and move around. But instead of lives, everyone has a certain amount of coins before they have to leave, you know, before that game's over. So if you want to hit somebody, you could just stack coins under them. Like, let's say right. we want to play, everyone has $5 on them. Mm-hmm. And then you go throughout the dungeon finding things. Like, you could find a pot of money, or you could find things, or there's like a center area with standard games. So you can like run to a table and start a game as if you're like starting a big fight, but it's just a game.
Right, yeah.
Like, hey, Dungeon Casino, you go over, you do a horse race, or you do like a round of blackjack, or you do like a dice game, or any of those things.
Nice. Yeah.
So what I would need to print out like players and dungeon pieces, and then just have it as a, you know, little casino tables and little treasure chests that you open, and there's like things. So it's combines all my favorite things.
Fantasy and gambling and game nights. Yeah. Yes. Hanging out with friends and drinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah. And then, you know, like, you know, if you have like regulars, you know, people who play often with you, you know, you can print out their specific characters want.
Their character, know? Yeah. Have their person, a little backstory.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm a 7th level ninja dragon.
I am Flu Flu the Archer.
Corinne, right before dinner, Corinne goes, she's like, she wanted to download the game Baldur's Gate. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, it looks like a really cool game. She was like, and then she goes, all your moves are done by dice rolls, just like in Dungeons and Dragons. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure. And I was like, and then I think all the dice rolls run the game. I like did the dwarf the nerd voice. And I'm pretty sure all of the moves are controlled by dice rolls, just like in Dungeons and Dragons. Which, she was like, what are you trying to say? She was like, wait, let me go get my glasses. And she came back with like her fake glasses on.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. She like completely just accepted it.
I will roll a 10 for anger.
My specifications do not allow that.
I laugh, but I've already played that game, and yes, it is based off of Dungeons and Dragons.
Nice. Yeah, she's like, I want to play. And
go, that's an expensive game.
Sounds cool. Yeah, it's like $60.
Yeah, or 70, or it was on Xbox.
Like, she looked it up. She was like, it's $60. We're like, okay, you have money to spend on your own stuff. She's like, oh, it's so exciting, spending my own money on something. Like, oh, we've created a monster.
It is a fun game. Guy and I play it.
Nice. Right on. Yeah, she's going to get it for the computer. Nice. PC gamer. Yeah, man. So, what's been going on? I know we both watched Jimmy DiResta's tribute video to his dad this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it and thought it was, you know, I mean, I didn't know his dad, and I barely know Jimmy DiResta. The few times we met him and talked to him shortly, but it's just really nice, and like, he, like, not only is it a gift to everyone to get together with his family and come up with like all the tips and tricks.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great thing to do. Like, like, everyone should do that. Or everyone's history of that type of information should be like written down or like documented.
Public access.
Yeah. And I think not only is it a nice thing to do for other people, but it's a good thing to do for your dad. Yeah. And for someone who you know would have been happy for other people to know the information. Like, when a dad goes, you don't do that, this is how you do something.
Right, yeah.
You know, they would be happy for everyone to know that. Because it, you know, less of a noise to them. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you handing me that thing that way? Or why are you hammering that or doing that? Anyway, really great video. And one of the ones I really liked was putting a magnet in the bottom of your hammer handle.
Yeah. That was great.
How great is that?
Yeah.
So to pick
such
up,
an like, easy thing, you know?
I didn't understand at first. I was like, wait, if you drop your hammer, you can like if you have a magnet on hand, you can pick up your hammer. It's like, no, you just use it as a little extender to pick up the screw you dropped or the tool or the screw. Like, so many times you're dropping stuff, and it's just an extra foot and a half of not having
right. And even just like down. Picking, you know, picking a piece of small hardware up off the ground sometimes is just tricky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mm-hmm. like a flat washer. You're like trying to pick it up. If you don't have any fingernails, like, how do you get mm-hmm. it? You know, like. Or like in my,
it drops in dirt outside. Or.
Yeah, and in my case, you know, where I have that mat on my floor between my shop tables, it's like a rubber mat, like a stall mat, you know, and so things fall down in there. And if I can't like get them, a lot of times I will grab a magnet and put it down in there to get it, because if it's far down, I can't pinch it, you know, like.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. I thought that was a really good one. I like the chop saw one too. How he said his like dad would do that with the chop saw and lift a piece of wood up really high. He's like, don't ever do this. Yeah, right. That was great, because that was a nod back to his like, don't do these tips, like dangerous shop tips video. Yeah, don't do that. No, it was great. Yeah, and just like. Him talking about his dad and all the footage of his dad, you know, he and his dad just driving around, just random stuff, be like,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you see that burger costs $15. And Jimmy's like, yeah, probably pretty good. He's like, I wouldn't buy it. Like, too expensive.
Right. Yeah. And the, just, and the dad thing of like, you want this? I got this. Check this out. Like, no, I don't need it.
Right. Exactly. Especially
Jimmy. It's such a funny thing to, for his dad, like no matter how successful your son gets, you know, I'm sure, I mean, that video was maybe at max taken like 3 or 4 years ago, but probably like last year or something. You know, his dad looks pretty old.
Yeah.
It's like, dad, I got sponsors who give me stuff. I've had a bunch of shows. Like, I've got this huge shop with everything I want. Like,
you put the sander?
No, I don't. Like, I don't need this old like planer or sander that you like. Yeah, I bought 10 of these things. You want one? Like, no, dad, I'm good. I don't need anything.
Yeah, Jimmy talks about his dad being a hoarder, like a true hoarder.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there were a couple shots where he's, like, inside his house, and you're like, oh, damn, he is a hoarder. Like, the entire space around his house is just completely full of stuff. You know, it's crazy. I feel like there's a certain, obviously, it's like a mental thing, you know, to be in that situation. I guess so, you know, like, but... There's different levels of that, right? And I definitely have a certain level of that, but it's like, you know, I want to get this thing because it's useful, but not because I, you know, not because it's on sale, but because it's useful, right? It's like, maybe I'll keep it a whole, like random scraps of wood and stuff, because I feel like I can use them sometime in the future. Like that video of the dad that was like, yes, like, hey, do you have one of these things? And he like runs down to the basement. It was like a reel that I saw. He like runs down to the basement and digs underneath of his desk, under his shop desk, you know, shop. And he's like, grabs this random piece of wood. It's like 2 2x4s that are screwed at a T angle. And they're like going. And I don't know. It was a fun video, but that, okay. That whole concept of like actually continuing to like hold on to stuff. I definitely find myself there. Looks like we lost Evan. He should be back on in a second. Yes. Lost you. That's weird. I know we're still recording, so Devin will be back. But yeah, that idea of just like your dad always offering up stuff, that Deb was talking about, just, I think that's great. Our dad does that where he'll get something and be like, oh, I got this thing, I think you'll like it, you know, or here's this whatever, like scroll saw or whatever, you know, things back and forth. So it's always stuff. Hey, you're back.
Hey, I'm back.
All right. We're still recording. I think we're good. I don't know why we lost you, but.
Okay. Just log me out. And then it was like, okay, finalizing recording.
Oh, okay.
Every once in a while,
we never know about cast, but yeah, I was talking about the reel with the dad and the son, and the son's like, oh, do you have this thing? And the dad's like, yes. And he runs down to his basement and shop.
If I had a wooden
tee, I got that. He brings it back up and that's what I was to say. Like, that's the type of stuff that I hoard. You know, it's like the random stuff that I think will be worth something or not, that I can use at some point. And, you know, not because it's on sale, right? That's, right. I feel like that was his mentality. It's like, oh, look how cheap this thing is. I should buy a bunch of them. You know, because you never know when they'll be this cheap again. Like, why do you need 15 little flashlights, you know, LED flashlights? Well, yeah. I might need 15 flashlights.
Yeah, there's a little bit of the old school thing where everything was more expensive anyway. So you find such a good deal, you're like, man, you know, lights used to be, you had one good flashlight. Now look at them all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but we don't want all that Chinese crap. Like free Harbor Freight flashlights. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah, it was that. Yeah, that free Harbor Freight flashlight. Mm-hmm.
Is that how look? It lights up over here, lights up there. But it's nice. What a
nice video.
What a nice video that will last as a tribute and a like, it's for everybody. It's a gift for your dad. It's a gift for everyone,
for your siblings,
everyone just
anyone
to,
who knew him.
Yeah, and then all of the rest of us.
I like the little interview at the very end, where it was Jimmy talking to like one of his dad's friends and a guy that worked with him, whatever, the, you know, fire department. And he said, you know, he was like talking about how he was working with him one day and his dad was like using the hose or whatever. And he's like, yeah, come on over here, take this. And he gave him the hose so he could spray, you know, he like let him do it, you know? And he was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, from that day on, he was his friend. He was like, anytime I'd say anything, you know, against him, if anyone agreed with what I was saying, I'd punch him in the face, you know, something like that. It was great. It's such a funny, like that's the way you remember. That's how you judge people's, like, let me secretly talk bad about someone, and then if they agree with me, then I'm gonna punch him in the face because that person's actually a good person. Be like, what? We try to trick people into, well,
it's almost like your family or something.
Yeah, right.
It's like, yeah, I can make fun of my brothers, but don't jump in. Don't like, right, pile exactly. on.
Yeah, I have the right to.
Yeah, I've been around them long enough.
Yeah, right.
Great
video. Really nice. Yeah, I like. There were just like there were a lot of things, and the pace was really nice. Like I feel like, you know, like some obviously with his sped up videos, like sometimes the pace feels fast. You're like following along. There's plenty of content there to like. To understand, but it's fast. But this just felt kind of slow. You know, it was like, it was nice, not slow, but it was like appropriate. Like you were just living with Jimmy and his dad for a little bit, you know, the memory of him. It was really nice.
Those are my favorite videos. It's just, I'm so old man-ish on this. I'm like, oh, it's too fast. We're rushing through everything, through content constantly.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's a horseshit way to make videos, but.
Right.
speaking of rushing through and make something really fast, we put out a little reel or whatever. And did you put to YouTube yet?
I did. Yeah, I did both of them. Yeah. Right.
Really making it fast because I was like, oh, this Dustin in the video that we just put out, the hunting for a perfect axe handle, you know, in big box stores, which turned out really nice, I think. At the end, we were like, oh, why don't you hang it now and we'll record it and see what we can do. And it was already pretty quick. Like, I left out that you switched, you know.
Right, from the other one axe head to the other axe.
Because it was just getting a little, I was like, I just kind of wanted to be a little treat at the end. That's no longer than like 2 minutes, you know.
Right, yep.
And that's what it ended up being. It was about 2 minutes and 20 seconds, fast forwarding through the whole, and it was your longer explanation.
Right. I did notice that. I was like, oh yeah, that's the longer one.
There was a little bit more, a little bit of this, and like a little bit more. Take a breath, and I do this, and you know, it was just a little bit nicer. So I was like, I'll do that one. But then, to make it a minute, well, you know, whatever Instagram can do, like a minute 30.
Right.
But and I'm not gonna do two videos, one for YouTube, one for Instagram. So like,
right. Yeah, I always try to do everything under a minute.
I'll do it under a minute, and I kept having to trim it. And I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll do it really, really fast. Like, I'll speed up the sped up footage and the voice just for fun. Like, make it really quick. I was like, that's kind of works. But then past like 160%, Mm-hmm. It's just too fast to, like, understand.
Right, yeah.
So I found, like, whatever was just fast enough where you could still understand it. And then it, you know, it ended up being, like, a minute 30, the whole explanation. So I was like, oh, man. So I actually trimmed out, like, another 30 seconds of the full explanation that's on the video. Oh, so it's nice, even more, it's an even more concise version of the normal speed version of on the video.
Nice.
But that's kind of cool.
Great. No, it's fun. I like, you were like, yeah, you don't have to have any music or anything, because as you were talking about it, and I hadn't actually looked at it yet. And so then I looked at it, I was like, oh, that is kind of cool. And I was listening to it, like,
you just talking, the sounds are still in it, which I had kind of fun doing, was hunting for the right sound for the right piece of the fast forward thing, because the whole thing's done in like 2 minutes, so there's a million different sounds. And I kind of didn't keep them together. Like, I will pull in a piece of video, unlink it, and then change the speed of the video clip side of it, right?
Right, yeah.
Because if you speed the video and the audio up, it is just more lagging on your computer, because it's trying to play back more like rendered things, more like that type of stuff.
Right.
So I always keep the audio. And anyway, I don't usually use the sped up audio.
Right.
So I just move the audio to the other timeline. But there were so many clips, I just had like 20 pieces of audio at the end of the timeline. I was just like looking through, like, oh, this type of hammer. Mm-hmm. Oh, this sounds like that saw. Like, I kind of forgot what went where. So I just kind of picked it up.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Added the sound for each little bit. So in the fast forwarded thing, you hear little examples.
Yeah, the normal sound, but you're seeing it high speed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget who does that. I think I noticed it the first time I really noticed, I think, was on like a tested video where he's doing something really fast and they're just normal speed sound. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's nicer, you know, because that's one of the things that like Jimmy always does on his videos, that he'll leave the high speed sound in.
Right.
And it always bugs the shit out of Nicole. She's like, oh my gosh, you're watching a Jimmy Gerusta video again. It's like super fast, you know? And so I noticed it on Adam Savage's videos. Like, oh, that's him working fast, but that's just a normal sound. Like chunk, chunk, chunk. Chunk. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool.
I don't know
the idea. Yeah,
I don't know why I started doing it. It could have been a tested thing,
right?
I don't know, but I think it was that thing. I just liked it a little better to hear. I feel like you get more information from that sound than you do from a sped up sound,
right? Yeah,
you know, you get to hear, at least if it's something sped up, you get to hear the pace.
Right.
And a little bit more about what's happening with the tool, you know?
Right. Yeah. So you're getting you're gaining all of the knowledge on what's happening visually by it happening quickly. Right. But then you're also understanding the pace of how it actually went by the pace of the actual sound.
Yeah. Right. I feel like it's,
your brain can fill in those things. Like, oh, yeah, that's the actual speed that it would have been.
You get a little bit more information all around, and you don't have the annoying, even though that's fun too sometimes, just to hear that real fast. Like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, so we made that today. And, the video was cool. I did a different, like, transition, a little sound with it, which I've never done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay.
Did you notice that? Like, when you, like, there's a swoosh sound in the...
No.
In, like, the dissolve swoosh kind of transition.
From, like, the one store to the next or whatever?
Yeah,
or
like, when you're, like, it's like, okay. And you're in the store. And it's like, you're back in the car.
Oh, cool.
Which I don't think I've ever used a sound for transition or that type of transition. I was looking for something different. I was like, cross dissolve's a little slow, and a lot of the other things are just corny.
Right.
So, but that one worked nice.
Nice.
It was like a slide. It slid, but it put in the a motion blur in it. It built into the wipe or the slide.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't look like this weird clean line. It looked like a swoosh. So I had a swoosh sound.
Nice. It looked like a swoosh. I noticed something like that in the final, the outro, where I'm like, all right, well, thanks guys so much for watching, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's almost like I was just laughing. And then I like went into it because I think it was like, I think probably. It was that, like, you know, it was the whatever take it was. I was like, all right, here we go. And I like kind of like giggled into it, you know, like, and that's another thing that I noticed, that at the end of Adam Savage's videos, when he does the, you know, it's like he'll wrap up the video and then it's like, hey, you guys, thanks for sticking out to the end. You know, if you want to, he does that little outro thing that he just adds on. That's like, if you can join the tested memberships and da 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 da, and you can get these, you know, tattoos and stuff. He always seems like he's like, you know, just stopped laughing. It's always like, yeah. You know, like it's like very fun. Like you're like, oh, you just stepped into part of the conversation where you're like having fun. And I noticed it on the video. And then I was like, oh yeah, that, cause I forget what I was watching last night. I think I was watching his like, setting up the lathe cabinet underneath of his lathe or something. And
oh yeah.
And at the end, I noticed at the end of the video when it like transitioned from him being like, all right, see you guys next time. And then it was like transitioned to that little outro thing that he was like, sounded like he was like just about, he had just come out of laughing. And so I noticed that today when I watched the video, I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just a good, you're always looking for like a naturalistic take.
Right.
You know, that doesn't seem forced or doesn't seem like you did it four times. Like,
right.
So when you're coming out of a laugh and you've got a, you know, a good smile on your face anyway, which is good to start out with in any business, in any like video talent, like start with a smile.
Right.
It's, yeah. And end with a smile too, which is a tough one too. Cause you'll like, and then everyone kind of just wants to like drop down and it just looks weird.
Yeah.
It's like, just hold it for like a second or two.
Right.
But no, I think it turned out great. I love the idea of the vlog style thing where you capture like a real reaction to stuff, which is nice. And
yeah,
we went to like, you know, three different stores and got your real reaction and no one kicked us out. And it was just cool to have, you know, footage of something other than the shop.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was fun, and it's like, again, like you said, it was kind of capturing the real reaction, right, in the moment. And that was like, so, you know, you were like, well, just walk down the aisle, I'll just get you walking up, and you just start looking at the handles and start, you know, talking about them. And so I was just like, with the, obviously the mindset of, you know, I'm talking to the camera, I'm talking to the audience, but I'm also talking to myself like, oh, this one's good. This one's okay. Like, all right, these are, you know, these are not bad. This is not bad. You know, it's like, so you're hearing the internal monologue that would be going through my head if I was there looking at the handles.
Right.
So yeah, I like that. It felt like genuine and also with like before going and be like, okay, this is what I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking for these three things, you know, grain orientation, grain run out, and a kerf cut, and those three things. And yeah, they all seemed like they turned out really well. And those things I was looking for, you could really see them like on the video, which is cool.
You know? Yeah, there's a couple really good examples getting in close on them. And then,
right.
I always think it's good to, it's like any good show or documentary. If you give the people the idea or the things that they're looking for, even if they don't know the subject, even if they've never heard those tips before, all of a sudden they're like armed with some of the information. So it makes it more interesting when they see what you're talking about, because they kind of have in their head. So all you're trying to do is give them a hint of what's coming,
right? Yeah,
for them to enjoy it more. It's like a old school movies and plays where they play the themes of the music before you start the show. Like, yeah, like a musical.
Yeah. Right.
Then in the show, you already have the idea of the musical themes. Right. So it's like this weird musical theme, like video thing. Like the themes of the video are going to be this. This is what we're looking for. Right. Let's go find them. Yeah. I think it makes it more enjoyable for anyone watching.
Yeah, and I agree. And like, there have been multiple times over the years when I thought about doing the outros or the intros at the end. You know, which a lot of people do. Like, they'll make something and then they'll do the intro at the end because then they can talk about, they can kind of lead you into what's going to happen.
Right.
But I think it's just as valuable to like talk about what you want to do beforehand and then let the like organic nature of the thing happening happen.
Right.
Right. Right. Be like, this is what I'm going to do. And so that's what we always do. It's always like, I'm going to start and I have the raw materials in front of me and I'm like, I want to do this thing and this is what I'm going to do. And we give like just a brief, like a 1 minute kind of intro talking about what the video should be about, you know, and then we get into it. Right. And then sometimes we're like, draw it. And, you know, so it's like, I think there's like just as much value in that, in the anticipation of like, this is what we're hoping will happen. And so come along on this journey rather than like, this is what this video is about and you're going to see it happen. Yeah. Right. Cause you already know what's going to happen. I think they're both valuable, but I kind of like I've thought about trying one way or the other over the years. I'm like, maybe we try the outro, the intro at the end. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of like the beginning of the video starting with that. It kind of gets us into the making. So I don't know. I think that's a interesting way to start. And so starting the video like that with like the axes, like being in the truck, being like, all right, we're going to go in and this is what we're looking for. That made the most sense because we're like, let's go on this journey together. Let's see if we can find these things that I'm looking for as we look through the different axe handles. And like, and Lowe's had a bunch of axe handles, which I was really, you know, pleased with, that all actually had good quality grain orientation and run out and curve cuts and all. And then Home Depot had none. You know, someone commented on the video that was like, oh yeah, you know, I used to work at Home Depot and it depends on the assistant manager and the ordering. And if, you know, if there are not stockers who are not, you know, if the people who are stocking things aren't telling them the order, then they don't know what ordered, blah, 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 back and forth. And I was like, yeah, you know, all those things make sense, right? Of course, it's like a gigantic big box store where, you know, they have thousands and thousands of stores all over the country. So, yeah, they're only going to do so much and they do get orders all the time. But, you know, if people, you know, if you're selling, say, maybe half a dozen axe handles a month, you know, like, that's not going to be priority one in the restocking. So,
yeah, right. Not a lot of people come in looking for, I mean, they might come and look for axes, but they're not a lot of people are handling them themselves.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you just kind of forget about that little area of your store and then you don't go back there. You don't pay much mind to it because you haven't had anybody asking about it. And then all of a sudden it's been a couple months. You don't have any. You just haven't noticed.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
And then some asshole YouTuber comes in and calls your store out.
And the red store didn't have shit.
Home Depot, store number 7823.
They're surrounded on either side by a Lowe's and an Ace, which both had some handles, and they've got nothing. Although Ace, like, didn't really have much either. They had, like, the one double bit and then the two boys' axe handles, you know, but no single, like, full-size single bits, which is going to be the most common thing. That's what most people would be looking for. It's just a regular single bit axe, full-size. But yeah,
if I were to go in a store and look for an axe, not know anything about it, someone's like, oh, here's a boy's axe handle. I'm like, is this a child's axe handle? Like,
yeah, right, exactly.
No, I need a real size one.
Yeah, it's funny how often that comes up when I talk about boys' axes, or if I'm talking to someone about, you know, someone's like, well, what if I want to get just one axe, like, what should I get? You know, I'm like, well, you probably should get a boys' axe. And they're like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, well, it's just a size designation. It's not, no, like,
man, I don't need a starter axe. I mean, give me an adult axe. What should I get?
Get yourself a boys' axe and a tester axe. See if you're good at axe chopping.
Get this axe handle. It's called the Mary Sue. It's really good though, but it's for you. It's a good start.
They only come in pink, but you know they're good. Yeah, no, yeah. That's like, yeah. It's funny because I don't think about it because I'm so used to seeing them and talking about them. It's like just part of the conversation. It's like anything, you know. But when you think about that out of context, that like calling, you know, like you have a double bit axe and a single bit axe, and they have all these names like Connecticut pattern, Michigan pattern, Dayton pattern, and then you have the boy's axe. Like, what? You know, it's like
there's even like the scout axes that are specific to like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but even those sound cooler than Boy's axe. But
right.
Which is funny because I absolutely love Boy's axes. They're probably my favorite and the ones that I use most often out of all my axes. It's just that size designation. It's just a lighter axe head on a shorter handle, which right. is super versatile. So.
Right.
But yeah.
Have you had the way off topic? Have you had the Southern Tier Juice Jolt?
I have.
IPA. Yeah. Oh man, uh-huh. That's good.
You like that one?
Juicy.
It is juicy. It's a little like
it may be overly juicy, but
yeah, it's like a little taste sweet. Test. Like it just leans a little bit on to the slightly fake side of too sweet. Yeah,
I can after a few more tastes, I can understand that.
Yeah, but I do like it. I like the Juice Jolt. Like mm-hmm. I like that it's part of the mix pack. You know, like yeah, I wouldn't want to have right. a whole 12 pack, but I like that it's in there with the other ones.
Man, yeah. I a few days of warm weather, and I've been jonesing for like warm weather drinks, like silly. Like I wanted like a Twisted Tea or Not Your Father's Root Beer. I just wanted the light like a alcoholic iced tea. Been outside the last few days with the kids, like.
Nice.
Maeve's been so pumped. I'm like, you want to play outside? She's like, yeah. Running around, getting the dog all psyched up. Cause he knows. She's like, yeah. That's and great. Took, and it's weird, which I didn't really notice, took Grant, my son, out maybe for the first time that he's ever sat outside.
Oh, nice.
You know, born yeah, in October.
Yeah, right.
You're just kind of hustling them from... You know, inside the car, somewhere else. Like, this might be the first day we actually sat outside.
Be like, this is it, son. This is what life is all about.
This is what it's all about.
Sitting outside on your own property. No one telling you what to do.
Chasing your daughter with an RC car.
Drinking a Twisted Tea.
Twisty. I wish I had a Twisty.
Twisty. Yeah.
No, I was just saying.
I haven't really noticed it's been that nice out because I've been working every day. Stupid work.
No, it's been, after it's really cold and nasty, anything above 30, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, right.
But it's it's been in the 40s and 50s. So today it was 54 out.
Oh, that's so nice.
So I think I had like shorts and a hoodie on and that was it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing like the shorts and hoodie weather. Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. So,
yeah, I was sitting out there. Maeve was running around. I had Grant in the teddy bear outfit thing still just barely fits him, but it does.
Nice.
Let me see. Yeah, I'll send a picture real quick of the...
That's great.
Cute little teddy bear outfit.
Did my third week of the snowboard program, which you were sending me like messages the other night when you were trying to Tuesday night you were trying to finish up the video and you sent me a message about like how to spell the things and I was like, yeah, that's right, I thought it, and I meant to like text you back, and then I was talking to one of the students or something, and then I think I fell asleep watching Harry Potter on the way back on the bus, and then I like, woke up like super late and I was like, damn, that was sending me all these messages, crap. Oh yeah, the teddy bear. Oh, look at him! He's so happy. He's
all yeah, I just out. Sat him in that little seat.
Yeah, hold little, him up.
And he just sat there on the patio and watched everything go by.
That's crazy, man. He looks so old in that picture. It's like that's a cute one. Him looking at Maeve and she looking at him.
Yeah,
she's like 1,000 times bigger than he is. Yeah, dang, a
giant.
It's crazy. She's a giant. Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got that good picture of her, of Maeve in that little bear outfit when she was mm-hmm. little, like mm-hmm. out at your old place on Yoho, off of Yoho.
Yeah, man. So
nice.
Good stuff. It was nice outside today. Okay. The baby's making noise in the background. I might have to run off, but let's see all if right. we can wrap it up. You got some hammer information? You did that mod. That was cool.
Yeah. So I've been wanting to do like a hammer modification like that for a couple years. Like I've thought like what an easy way to make a cool thing for yourself, make something you're more excited about. Just like take a normal hammer and then just grind it into a new shape. Like just add some stuff to it. And yeah, because a lot of the custom made hammers are. They have some organic nature to them, or they have more shape to them. And when you buy like a standard hammer from a hardware store, it's usually very simple shape. You know, it's like the easiest shape that they can cast or that they can cold, drop forge.
Yeah.
So I just took I think it might have been a Harbor Freight head, so a 3-pound cross peen hammer, and just started thinking about how I wanted to shape it, you know. And I was like, okay, well, let me try. Like, I drew some lines on it and started grinding stuff away. And it started out, it was actually like it was a 3-pound head, but when I took it off the handle, it was 2¾-pound. And so I knew I wanted to get down to at least 2¼, maybe like 2. That was kind of my goal, was to get down to a 2-pound head. So it did end up at 2¼, which is surprising how much like material I took off. And I still only took a 0.5-pound off. Mm. But yeah, it was fun. It was cool. It was like, I wasn't super precious with it. You know, I was like, obviously I wanted to make sure that my grinds were even and smooth and stuff like that, and try to make things symmetrical, but it's not like perfectly symmetrical, but it's like pretty nice, you know, for a hammerhead for me. I was really happy with it. Did some cool like chamfers and kind of just kept playing around with the shape until I was happy with it, until I took enough material off and it would do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then I just ground everything. So I got off all the old black paint that came on it. And then I cold blued it. So I used the cold bluing chemical and covered the whole thing. And then actually once I put that first layer of cold blue on it, like darkened it, but not a ton. But it was cool because I grinded everything with just like a 36 grit, and then I just went straight to the Scotch-Brite belt on my grinder. So it's basically smoothed everything out, but you can still see all the lines of the 36 grit.
Yeah.
And I really like the way that looks. It actually has like a textured look like it's wrought iron, which has like a lot of grain stuff to it. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I did like a cold blue, and it didn't darken it a ton, but it darkened it some. And I also have a plum brown, which is like the same type of, it's the same company, Birchwood Casey, but they do like a brown for like rifles, I guess, rifle barrels and things. Mm-hmm. So I did that over it, and it made it like very brown, almost like rust brown, the whole thing. Like this kind of light brown. It was kind of weird. So I was like, well, I don't really like that. So so then I went back over it with the cold blue again, and then it did like a darker, you know, dark black bluish over top of that. But then there's some of the brown coming out. So it has this kind of nice, like dark, almost like, what's it called? The, like not hammer, like a copper or like a antiqued bronze or something look, you know, where it's that like real dark, but you have a little bit of the warmth of the bronze. So
yeah.
It was cool. And then I just, you know, obviously some of the chemical got on some of the spots that I wanted to be smooth. So I just like re-ground the head on the Scotch-Brite and then the cross peen. And yeah, it turned out really good. And I'm super happy with it. And I posted the reel about it the post about it on Instagram with some pictures and videos. And I got a ton of good feedback. Everyone's digging it. And they're all like, oh man, such like a bunch of like several people were like, yeah, this has definitely inspired me to try it. You know, whereas people would be like, oh, I wanted to do that before. Like now I'm definitely going to do it because, you know, it looks cool. So, and I was inspired by Chris Cash because he's been doing these hammerheads, wrought iron hammerheads that he's making and selling. And so the shape, when I was kind of scrolling through Instagram and I saw one of his and I kind of liked the shape and I was like, that's what I want to do. Like I had some time last night. I didn't have anything to do when I got home from school, from work, and I was like, maybe I'll just go down to the shop and grab one of those hammerheads that I have and just start grinding away at it, see what I can come out with. And so a couple hours and I'm really happy with it. It's cool. It's like it's a better weight, you know, because I think the 2.5-pound, 2 to 2.5 pounds, a better weight that you can use for a longer time blacksmithing, longer than a 3-pound. And so I like the weight and I like the shape. And now it's like, now the visuals give me the fizz.
Yeah,
which is what you want, you know. It's like you want to actually want to pick up your tools and use them, and a lot of times that's just like how they work and how they look, you know. So it's cool. So,
yeah, man. Yeah, no, it did turn out nice, and I think everyone likes stock removal because it just seems not like maybe like magic, or it's just the thing everyone's like, oh, I can do that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's not so far off.
The thing is already made, and we're just like grinding away. Like, heck yeah. It's like anytime you talk, like hand someone a jigsaw or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Cut this shape out. Well, I can follow a line. I can, if the thing's already there, I can cut it out.
Yeah.
It's putting stuff together that people don't want to do, that go from, right, exactly. You know, a couple pieces of wood to a A-frame or something.
Right, yeah. Or, you know, from a chunk of steel to a hammer. Exactly. You know, it's right. Like, right. You know, there's a lot of awesome hammer makers and stuff out there. Like I said, like Chris Cash is actually, he's making those hammers from scratch. But you know, taking something and, yeah, like I said, it's much more approachable, right? Like, I can do that. You know, like I see that. Oh, that's really cool. I like where you went with that. I can imagine myself doing that and coming away with something really cool too. And like, that's more approachable, which I kind of like.
Yeah, no, that's cool. We should do something on that after we do our two other videos.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I know. I've actually, I'd been wanting to do this as a video for a while, like taking a hammerhead and you know, modifying it and making it, you know, your own. So I've seen other people do it and I just thought that was kind of a fun idea, you know, but I had a different idea of how I could do that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's cool. So, very cool.
Yeah, cool. All right. Got something to recommend?
Yeah. This week. There's a show I just finished last night. The original version of, which I think I suggested on here before, was F1's Drive to Survive.
Yep.
Which is just the Netflix show, you know, where they follow all the racers around. And that one is super interesting because it's exotic. You know, F1's the biggest racing in the world, and they go, every race is a different country, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like, we're in England, we're in Dubai, we're in wherever, Spain, Italy. So it's cool just to see, follow people around, and just see them with, like, the richest humans in the world. So they made a NASCAR version called Full Speed. I think, let me double check. Let me get it right. Yeah, NASCAR Full Speed. Nice. It's really good. A little bit, like, more countrified, but I think whoever produced the F1 series must have also worked on this.
Right.
Or it's like a direct ripoff, because it is the exact same thing, just with NASCAR drivers. So,
nice.
You know, just, it's, you know, circuits, coliseums and stuff, NASCAR tracks around the U.S., you know, mostly East Coast and stuff, but there's a few in West Coast, you know, Midwest. But, you know, just some kind of, it's a funny mix of, well, not even a mix anymore. Like, it's not good old boys anymore. It's like these young kids.
Right.
Who grew up, some of them grew up e-racing, and some of them are like, they're all a little, like, trendy, and their wives and girlfriends are all like, I guess probably that was back in NASCAR too. They're all dolled up, you know?
Yeah, right.
but anyway, you know, but they're all pretty likable. And I don't know, it's just good. It's really great to follow it around. And they follow the playoff section of NASCAR, which is, I've watched a little bit here and there. I like NASCAR, but it's, now they have it where you race like the first half of the season, gaining points and wins. And then the second half or the last third is like a playoff thing. Like, all right, 16 cars are in it. Everyone still races. Every car still races. Right. But just 16 of them are racing for points now to continue into the next round. Uh-huh. And they go down to 8, and then they cut people, and then they cut people. You get points, you know. You get a stage win, you get points. Obviously, if you win, you, like, move on. And then it comes down to the final race of the season, which you got 4 guys all racing the final race with the rest of the field, with everyone else. But you know what the race is about. It's these 4 racers, whoever comes in first, or whoever comes in first out of those 4 dudes
is going to have the points.
Yeah. So you have like the last 10 races of the season. That's what they cover, which is really the, you know, the fun, interesting part of it.
Right.
So pretty cool.
Nice.
Right. I don't know. I think, maybe it's because of Pop, not that I ever paid attention, but remember, like, after church, he'd always have NASCAR on.
Oh, yeah.
It was just something I remember sitting back upstairs on that little green couch, just watching, kind of like Dad with golf, you know? It's just, it's this weird, comforting thing, and now I do what Pop does a lot of times. If I have anything to do, I put on NASCAR, and I just, like, fall asleep on the couch. It's like this weird, rhythmic thing. I love it.
That's great.
So maybe I have been the last 4 years, I'm like, I'm going to a race, and I never do, because there's Dover,
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's, we're only like an hour and a half away.
It's a small course. It's the Monster Mile, so it's kind of a smaller thing. But, I mean, I'd love to go. Just have fun, party a little bit, have some drinks. You can go to the casino, put some money down on the, you know, it'd be fun.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Mm-hmm. That would be fun. Yeah, we were there that one time for that concert, the, like, was like, the classic rock concert. Headliner was Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Yeah, that was great.
We walked on the track.
On the track, yep. Yeah, it's like sloped. It's fun. Mm-hmm. Like walk down track. Yeah. Cool, yeah. And I was talking to my students actually about the F1 races that were in Baltimore, whatever that was, 10 years ago or something, that we went to.
Well, yeah, no, that was
Baltimore.
That was Indy 500, but still same thing, kind of.
No, isn't that
it
F1?
It's not Indy 500, sorry. It's IndyCar.
Okay.
That's a different thing.
But isn't F1 the same as Indy? Like basically the same type of car?
No, well, broadly, yes.
Okay, yeah.
They look the same.
Right.
And actually, I didn't really know until later on, too, after we had gone to the thing. The Indy car is kind of the American version of F1.
Okay.
And basically, if you really get an Indy, then maybe you could go to F1. It's like F1 drivers that fail could probably go down to F1 and do it good.
Okay.
It's like Indy. That, you know.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
But yes, I know. I thought the same thing for a long time, actually, until I watched the F1 show. And I was like, oh, they didn't come to that. That's just two different things.
Right.
IndyCar and F1. But
gotcha.
But yeah, we did go that race. It was awesome. So
yeah, cool. That was cool. Cool. Well, my my recommendation this week is Cole Bauer Racing. And it's actually a woman solo race, sailboat racer. She's sailing around the world. Nice. Doing a solo race. And so her name is Cole Bauer. So Cole Bauer Racing on Instagram. I've been following along for a couple weeks. She posts every day, sometimes twice a day. And it's just her on her boat, just traveling around. She just, she's in the Pacific now, down in the Southern Pacific, in the Atlantic, in the Southern Atlantic. She's kind of working her way up, the East Coast of South America. But she just, you know, and obviously recently rounded Cape Horn. So it was kind of cool just watching her go from the South Pacific, where it was super cold. And then basically as soon as she rounded Cape Horn, like 2 days later, she's like in warm weather.
Right.
You know, it's like the different temperatures and the different currents of wind and weather and stuff is totally different in the Pacific to the Atlantic. So it's been really cool, like following along. She just does reels and she talks about what she's doing. She'll show the weather and she's just like happy all the time. And she's like, oh, we got this crazy squall coming. So, you know, it'll be anywhere between like 10 and 30 knots of wind and it might pop up, you know. And she's like, oh, it's so beautiful. And she like shows it and stuff. And she's cruising along and just talking about stuff and showing what she does on her boat, because it's just her, you know. So I think like her interaction with the world is what keeps her from going like stir crazy. So
and you can always stop, you're not too far from shore, just
right. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know if it's it's women to race solo around the world. I don't know if it's a one, like, you know, no stops. It might be, but I'm not exactly sure. But but yeah, I mean, you know, again, she's not someone who needs the recommendation, because she has 363,000 followers on Instagram. Nice. But but even still, it's fun to watch, and she's fun to watch. She's cute, but not like, not overly to the fact to where she's like using it to, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, but she's like, she's just fun and happy and smiley and talking about cool sailing stuff, which I obviously love. So I was like flipping through looking for a recommendation. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's someone I haven't recommended before.
Yeah.
So
I like those videos.
Cole Bauer Racing. Cole Bauer Ocean Racing is her Instagram. Cool. All right, man. Right on. Well, next week we're gonna have Adrian Vita from Hickory Homestead Creations on with us, which is gonna be fun. I mentioned that to Nicole, and Nicole was like, oh, I want to get on with her and talk about like knitting stuff and sewing and like yarn. I was like, we'll see. Then I was like, no, actually, if you want to join us, that's fine. We can do a, like, guys and girls podcast. It'd be fun. So we'll see. But yeah, that'll be cool. I'm excited to have her back on again. She's always fun to talk to, and we've done a bunch of stuff with her now. So
good to have her back in chat. We can she and I can reminisce about Maker Camp this year.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You cannot in the rain and the mud and the little camp that we had over there was awesome.
We all really bonded that year. That was so special.
It'll never be another year like that again. But yeah, so look forward to that, everyone who's listening. That'll be a fun episode. We always love to hang out with Adrian and talk to her, so it'll be cool.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, make sure you don't forget to head over to Instagram. Check us out on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. Head over to YouTube and check out the new video on searching for axe handles at your local big box store and the tips that I give you. If you're interested at all in that type of thing, I think there's some good information there and a good video. Devin did a good job. And also, if you want to support us any further, you can also go to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there for as little as like a dollar or a month. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. All right, everybody. Thank you, guys. Devin, always a pleasure.
Cheers.
Everybody else, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.